to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
Would you ever say this to an unbeliever? Would you ever say, if Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, turns out that isn't actually true in history, then you would have to be absolutely out of your mind to live like I live. Would you ever say that to a non-Christian? I've actually heard Christians say the exact opposite of that. When they're trying to persuade someone to become a Christian, and they're sharing the gospel with them, and then they finally say, look, you might as well just follow Christ, because even if Christianity isn't true, still, the Christian life is so wonderful. It's a life of joy and happiness and positive things, so, you know, you really don't have anything to lose. You might as well just do it. Living in a country where there's so much wealth and so much comfort and so little persecution is an incredibly dangerous thing, because it lulls us into living lives that are lives of such comfort that there's really no difference between us and the world. And that argument works. Go ahead and just be a Christian. It's a comfortable life. But the real Christian life is not a comfortable life. It is a life of voluntarily choosing so much hardship and pain that you would absolutely have to be out of your mind to live that way if Christ didn't actually rise from the dead. That's the argument of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 19, he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Down in verse 29, if there's no resurrection, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? Verse 32, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So Paul made decisions in his life because of his faith that resulted in so much suffering that only a madman would do that if this life is all there is. So if you and I aren't living that way, if we're not living in a way that brings us suffering because of our faith, we're actually not living the Christian life. In this age, the citizens of the kingdom of God mourn. We mourn. We're studying the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. And that language we found last time is taken from Isaiah 61, and primarily the idea of there is specifically the mourning of repentance, the grief of repentance. And so we talked about that last time, but there's more than that. I think that Jesus intended the application of this beatitude about mourning to extend beyond just that mourning of repentance. Because, for one thing, Jesus states it in a general way, very general way about mourning. And if you read the Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel, you find that he states them in a different form. Listen to Luke 6:21. He says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. So, in Luke's account of the Beatitudes, the emphasis is on this reversal that's going to take place in the age to come compared to this age. Things are one way now, it's going to be the opposite then. And in this present age, the godly weep while the ungodly laugh. So it's not just repentance here. That's part of it, but the scope widens from that, I believe, to encompass all mourning, all grieving, all weeping that is associated specifically with being one of God's children in this present age. All the suffering and sorrow that the people of God now experience because they're the people of God, all of that mourning is included in this beatitude. See, to belong to God in this present evil age means to have special suffering, unique. There is unique suffering for the people of God, just because we're the people of God. You know, if you go to Israel, one of the most famous sites in the Holy Land is the Wailing Wall. You ever thought about that? That's not the Jewish name for it. They just call it the West Wall of the Temple. But it became known as the Wailing Wall by those outside of Israel because it's just the place where Jews have gathered to weep over their grief of the destruction of the temple. Can you think of any other people group in existence that's known for wailing? It's no surprise that the chosen people of God would be famous for their mourning. And that's been true of the Jewish people, and it's true of the church. At least it should be. Life in the kingdom, in this age, in this present evil age, is a time of weeping while the world laughs. Does that mean we only weep? No, it doesn't. It points specifically to the times when we weep in the very same context in which they're laughing. The times when we have opposite responses that the world has. You say, well, when is that? When do we weep while they're laughing? What are the uniquely Christian sorrows? I can think of six examples, at least six different ways that we suffer hardship and grief because of our relationship with God, such that we're weeping while the world is laughing. The first one is the one we talked about last week, the sorrow of repentance, the grief of repentance. The only people who have to endure the pain of having grieved God are believers, people who love God. People who don't love God, they don't have to go through that. They don't have to go through that kind of sorrow. And so only those people who grieve in that way will have the comfort of forgiveness. Secondly, the second one is real similar. It's any pain that you suffer as a result of having affections that are like God's affections. Any time you feel about something the way God feels about something. Grieving over your own sin is one example of that kind of grief. But it goes beyond that. It's any time you experience grief because you love the things God loves and you hate the things God hates. For example, the grief you feel over the sins of others. Not just your own sin, but just sin in general in the world that causes grief in your heart. That's suffering that you have to undergo just because your affections are like God's affections. Just because you love God. The more you love God, the more distress you're going to have over the evil in this world. Psalm 119:136 says, "Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed." That's the mark of a righteous man. That's godliness. 2 Peter 2:7 is the description of Lot, who is a righteous man. And it says, "God rescued Lot, a righteous man, who is distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds that he saw and heard." Righteous, 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 righteous. He keeps on calling him righteous. He's so righteous. He's such a godly man. What's so righteous about him? What does he do in this text? He doesn't do anything. The whole description is just him being upset about the evil around him. That was the mark of his righteousness. So while they're laughing in the world, we are weeping over the very things that they're laughing about. That's what happens when you develop affections like God's affections. When your heart is drawn so close to his, you're conformed to his image, you have to go through the anguish of seeing disobedience all around you to his law, and it hurts because of your love for him. Now, that's one illustration of suffering that we undergo as a result of having affections like God's affections, but that's not all. It's not just being sad about sin. There's other kinds of sadness. For example, the sadness of watching suffering, compassion. You're going to have compassion in your heart. If you love God, you're going to have compassion. When you share God's affections in his heart, you love people like God loves people. Watching people suffer is agony, much more so than it is for the world, because of the compassion in our hearts. So by sharing God's affections, you're taking on additional agony, the agony of compassion. And on top of that is the pain of waiting for the full glory of the kingdom to arrive. That's a kind of suffering that's unique to us. The more you love the kingdom of God, the more you're going to groan in this present evil age where sin and suffering and sickness and death continue to exist. You pray with Jesus, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And you pray that because you desire that. You want that. And the more you desire and want that, the more pain there is in your heart every day that it doesn't come. Every day that you have to continue to wait, there's a kind of groaning. When are the times when we're laughing while they're weeping? It's times when we share the affections of God, and that causes some kind of suffering in our life.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.